We've been looking the last couple days at Isaiah chapter 51. And again, one of the reasons I chose Isaiah chapter 51 is because I love the fact that this is talking about the salvation that's to come, the salvation that's to come for the nation of Israel, for the people of Israel, for Jerusalem. And the prophet Isaiah is speaking to them, and he's speaking words of encouragement. But what I love, and we just started to look at this, is as you go through Isaiah 51, and there's only 23 different verses in Isaiah 51, but it's amazing to me how many times in those 23 verses we see that God is speaking through Isaiah with this message, and it's more than a message, it is a call. It is an alarm. It is a wake up and pay attention. Listen to how many times we see either the phrase, listen to me, or the phrase, hear me, or the phrase, awake, awake. In other words, I'm getting your attention. I need you to wake up so you can hear what I'm saying. We see it in verse number 1, listen to me. In verse number 4, listen to me, my people. Verse number 7, hear me, you who know what is right. Verse number 9, awake, awake. If we go down to verse number 17, it says, awake, awake, rise up. And then if you look at verse number 21, he says, therefore, hear this. Listen to me, hear this, awake, awake. This just gives us a sense of how important these words are that God is speaking to the people of Israel and to you and I today through the prophet Isaiah in this chapter. He wants us to know, listen and hear these things. Now, we looked yesterday at verse number 1 in detail. And verse number 1 says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. You were cut from the rock of Jesus Christ. And God is telling us, listen to me. No matter what you face today, no matter what you're looking at today, no matter what occurs today, even if today is a day of great peace, no matter what, make sure that you remember and you're always looking to the rock. If you're faced with some kind of adversity today, look towards the rock. Remember, never forget the rock from which you were cut. Look towards the rock from which you were cut, to the quarry from which you were hewn. You were cut from the rock of Jesus Christ. He is the rock, and we are pieces of the rock. This is the difference, you know, in the Gospels when we see Jesus talking to Peter, and Jesus calls Peter, Peter, you are the rock. Well, Peter's name means rock. It indicates a small rock. Jesus is the rock, indicating he is the large rock. And Peter, just like you and I, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and have accepted the sacrificial work that Jesus has done on our part, we are cut from the rock. We are a part of the rock of Jesus Christ. So that's what we learned yesterday. Now let's move on a few more verses. He goes on in verses number 2 and 3 to talk about the comfort that's coming to Zion. And he says in the end of verse number 3, joy and gladness will be found in her. He's talking about Israel. And we touched on this yesterday. This whole chapter is talking to the people who heard this from the prophet Isaiah. At the time they heard it, this was a truth and a promise that they could look forward to. This is giving a word of hope and a word of promise because there was trouble that was coming. Because of the hard hearts, because the people had turned their hearts away from God. They had rejected his word. They were into idolatry. They were adulterers in faith. They were adulterers, having rejected God and turned to other gods. And because of this, they were going to be exiled for 70 years. They were going to be in exile. The people of Jerusalem and the people of Judah would be in exile. And after this time of exile, exile would be hard. Exile is hard because, A, they are put in submission under a foreign kingdom, and it's a foreign kingdom that does not acknowledge or know God. And the people of Israel, God's chosen people, both the people at this point, the kingdom had been divided into two. There was a northern kingdom, which was totally into idolatry, but then there was the southern kingdom, which was Jerusalem and Judah. It was the kingdom of Judah, which had a few good kings along the way, but they both eventually went into exile. Now, Israel never came back from exile. They were basically absorbed into the culture, into the people, which later became, you know, what we would know in the time of Jesus, in the time of the Gospels, as the people of Samaria and the Samaritans. but both went into exile. Judah would eventually come back. But why this was such a difficult thing for the people of Judah, and why exile, aside from the fact that they are now slaves, they're being subjected to a foreign kingdom who does not even acknowledge their God, but they're also taken away from the temple and all of the rituals. And these are the things. It is through these rituals, even though the people had turned their hearts away from God, still they know that it's only through these rituals, it's only through the sacrifices that they are cleansed, and they no longer have. The temple was destroyed. They no longer have priests. They no longer have the Ark of the Covenant. They no longer have God personally speaking to them and speaking to the high priest. And they no longer have that sacrifice being offered up for them and to cover their sins. So this is a devastating time that's coming. But God wants them to know, and this is why Isaiah is speaking. God wants them to know that there are better times coming. And he's saying, look, joy and gladness is going to be found in her, Israel, again. Joy is going to be found in Zion. Joy is going to be found in Jerusalem, in Zion, once again. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing is going to return. So Isaiah has given the people a word of hope and a word of comfort and a word to hold on to. Now, we can read this today. It was a word that they could look forward to and know that I can hold on to this. This is coming. God said, this is coming. For you and I, from our perspective, we're looking back on it. We've already seen it done. We've seen it fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And as we go through the rest of Isaiah chapter 51, we see many different references that do clearly apply and foreshadow Jesus and the coming of Jesus. So Isaiah is speaking about the good news and the good news that is to be done. And it's a done work for you and I, and we can enjoy it. It's a completed work for you and I, and we can enjoy it. As he goes on, we're going to skip down to verse number 7. And once again, here we see God speaking through the prophet Isaiah and saying through Isaiah, say these words. And Isaiah says, hear me. Hear me. Listen to me. Hear me. You who know what is right. So this is a word that was true for the people of Isaiah's time and who heard it then. But it's also still a word that is true for us today. The things that are being spoken by the prophet Isaiah are still words of truth and words of power and words of life for us. And they're still impactful, vital, and important. Important enough that we can still read it, and we can still read it as, hear me. Holy Spirit is saying through these verses, hear me, listen to me, pay attention to what I'm saying here. That kind of lets me know the next things that are going to be said are probably pretty important then for me to know and understand. I'm going to read these next couple of verses to you. In the Amplified Bible, starting in verse number 7. Listen to me, you who know righteous and justice and right standing with God, the people in whose heart is my law and my instruction. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid or dismayed by their revilings. This is still a truth for you and I today. We have no reason to be dismayed. Hear me. That's what Jesus is saying. Through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, he's saying to you, hear me. Listen to me. Those of you who are in right standing, you are in more right standing than anyone in Isaiah's time who heard that. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are in right standing. You have a relationship, once again, through Jesus Christ. You have a relationship, a right relationship with God the Father. There is no division. There's no separation between you and God anymore. His Spirit now dwells in your spirit, and His Spirit in your spirit ties you directly to his presence, to his very throne room. It's like a spiritual umbilical cord. He is in you. His Spirit is in you. And his Spirit in you ties you directly to his presence in the spiritual realm. So this is even more true for you today. If you're in right standing, fear not. You have nothing to fear today. What is men doing to you today? What is it you're faced with today? What is it that maybe at the workplace is weighing on you? You know, what is it that's maybe happening at the workplace where someone's starting to say to you, well, you know, your job, we're not sure. You know, we might have to make some cutbacks. Or what is it that man is saying to you? Maybe what's the doctor said to you that has said, well, here's what you're facing health-wise. God is saying, fear not. If you're in right standing with him, which you are, hear me. Listen to me. This is God speaking to you. Listen to me. Fear not. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid or dismayed by their revilings. For in comparison with the Lord, they are so weak that things as insignificant as a moth shall eat them up like a garment. and the worms shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness and justice and faithfully fulfilled promise shall be forever, and my salvation for all generations. You can kind of see why the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the prophet Isaiah, all of these 2,500 years later, speaking to us and saying, listen, listen to me. Listen, you have nothing to be afraid of. If you are in right standing, and you are, if you've accepted the sacrifice of Jesus, if you are in right standing, you have nothing to fear. You don't need to fear the words of men or the deeds of men against you. You need not fear. If someone in the world, if man takes your job, fear not. You are God's. He has you taken care of. It doesn't matter what men do. You might say, well, you know, these people have power over my ability to make an income and support my family. No, they don't. They truly do not. You might, in the short term, you might look at it and say, well, they've taken away. But they were never your source anyway. Jesus was always and always will be your source because you are in right standing with him. Anything that man can do, it might seem on the surface, it may appear to be something devastating and harsh. If the court systems have done something to you that seems devastating and harsh, and you feel like you have taken a great loss, no, you haven't. Because no matter what men say or do, no matter what actions they do, no matter what they might do to harm you, now listen to this, this is why God said, hear me on this. No matter what they might do to you, you need to remember this. For in comparison with the Lord, they are weak. They are so weak that the things as significant as a moth shall eat them up. Jesus is saying, no matter what man does to you, no matter what man has said to you, no matter what man has done to you, no matter what you feel like they may have taken away, and in the natural, it may appear that they have all the power. They don't. If they've taken something away from you, don't just sit with your head bowed down and accept it. Look up. Look to Jesus Christ and remember these words. Whatever man says or does to you, fear not. Because no matter how devastating it may appear in the natural, it is not. Because you belong to God. And no matter what they might do to you or no matter what they might say to you in the natural, whatever they do, by comparison to God, it is nothing. It is so weak, it is to be compared with something so weak, a moth could eat it and destroy it. Whatever you think that they have done that is so devastating to you, it is so weak by comparison to God, it's not even worth giving thought to. My righteousness and justice and faithfully fulfilled promise shall be forever. Now, this is a promise that God was making to the people of Israel. But it's even more true for you and I because we have that right relationship. What has the world said or what has the world done to you today? What has the world done to take something away from you that you feel devastated by? Don't be devastated. Don't give in. Don't be devastated because the worst thing that they can do, the most heinous thing that they can do in your life, by comparison to God, it is nothing. It's weakness. It's so weak, even a moth could easily destroy it. You walk in the victory of Jesus Christ and his promises, his fulfilled promises, fulfilled, and they are fulfilled in Jesus. His faithfully fulfilled promises in Jesus shall be forever. That is your promise. So whatever the world has taken, whatever the world has said, don't yield to it. Look to Jesus Christ. Look up. And that's why he says, listen to me. Pay attention to these words. Those are good words to heed.